Stop the nonsense. I'm down 7 pounds and I'm on my way to Five Guys.
If your company needs to provide disaster restoration services to your clients, then you need to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Owner Josh Martin, he has 14 years experience in the insurance industry as an adjuster. Now he works on the other side, helping homeowners and businesses recover after a fire, storm damage, mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Flood, of course. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get there, see what they're all about. Call Josh and set up a time for him to show you everything that they do and how they deal with customers honestly and efficiently. And they're available 24/7 to be on call for your business when you have to provide restoration services for your clients. Florida's Elite Restoration. And homeowners, of course, they're there for you 24/7 to get a free estimate assessment in your home, and they'll help you with your insurance company so you don't get ripped off. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is back. Episode 2 of this week. The star of the show, he is the Baron of Big Storm Beer, the Master of Mold, the King of Newport Richie, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton, and it's all brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Get to BillCurryFord.com, and man, are there some incredible opportunities right now. Sean Sullivan, the GM there, he has got an extra $2,500 over Kelley Blue Book value for a lot of customers. Get it started at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, we enjoy and savor Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Go buy yourself a four-pack, maybe at one of the tap rooms or at Publix or at fine retailers. Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Arcus Pale Ale, the Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA, the top seller. Whatever it is, you can find it at BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. Punch in your zip code there. And you'll find the beer. Even if you're out of state, there's a very good chance you'll find locally brewed Florida's best craft beer, Big Storm Beer, and Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll hear more about them later, Ira. They are the kings when it comes to taking care of a disaster in your home or at your business. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Storm damage, tree falls on your house, you got a flood, mold. This is where you turn first for a free assessment, free evaluation. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, we talked a lot on the last podcast, and anybody can find that at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. Sage is everywhere. We talked a little bit at the end about reaching for picks and value and Jason Light's philosophies. Ira, the whole reaching philosophy to me is a little wacky, because I just look at it as, if you pick a good player, nobody ever says you reached. That's just what I've found. If I pick a guy who's successful and who's good, nobody ever says, oh, you reached for him too high, or you could have gotten him later. I don't hear that too much when the guy's good. You hear that when the guy's bad. So I don't really look at the reaching thing. I just think, you know, pick the right guys and no one's ever going to have a problem with you, and you'll probably be a general manager for 25 years.
Interesting way to look at it. You know what word comes into play there, Steve, is value. And that's a word, Lee, you've heard Bill Polian a million times talking about draft and philosophy. And Lee, that's a word I think that's used almost more than any other, is value. In other words, you got the 27th pick and you take a guy that would probably be there in the late second round, and you're taking him in the first round, and then another player slips through that you could have had. That's a better player than the guy that you took at 27. So you lost value there, Lee. Now, Steve's right. If you take a good player that maybe ends up signing a second contract, that's a hell of a pick. Because didn't Jason Light say 50% of the first round picks over the years, Lee, the tradition is they don't make it? I think Light's right. So if you take a player, suppose you ended up where you would have took Will Golston in the first round, Lee, the guy's still with the Bucks. I mean, that's good value. That's a good pick. He's a starter. You can't knock that pick. So, Lee, it's all about value. I know what Jason Light's saying, but if you get a good player at 27, end of story.
Well, I guess it's all about semantics. I can't remember the guy's name, the offensive lineman from Michigan State that was supposed to be, you know, the next John Hanna.
Mandarich. Mandarich.
Yeah. You know, some people call him a bust, but he lasted, what, 12, 13 years in the NFL. And you know, if you want to call that value, okay, but I don't think drafting a guy at number four overall, that he's just a serviceable player, I don't know if that's, you know, is that value? I don't think so, only because he lasted that long. You know, number four overall player, you want that guy to be a difference maker, an impact player. I guess a better word, if you're going to get into semantics, reaching is gambling. You know, for example, and I've actually seen sober people on TV suggest this. At least I think they're sober. Some might say they're drunk on their rear end. Malik Willis, number two to the Lions. You're basically writing yourself. You're begging to get fired with a pick like that. Now, it's a hell of a gamble. If that gamble works out, great. But generally, you don't go to Las Vegas looking to win your retirement.
And, Steve, most of the reaches, let's be honest, Steve, most of these so-called reaches, I think, has to do with the quarterback position by virtue of its importance. Steve, and teams move up, and they make these ridiculous trades with Trubisky and this guy. And, Steve, when they don't work out, that's a reach. That's a reach. And it could happen again this year.
Absolutely. Teams reach for quarterbacks. But you could argue that if you're not reaching for a quarterback, then you're doing something wrong. Because if you believe that that guy's your future quarterback, you better do everything you can to go get him. And if you have to overpay a little bit, so be it. I'll take you back to the 2018 draft, Ira. Buffalo Bills fans were screaming and throwing things everywhere because the Bills traded up with the Buccaneers to get Josh Allen. They thought that was too high for Josh Allen. Who's this guy coming out of Wyoming? What are we doing? And now it's the greatest trade they ever made. And of course, it worked out very well. Worked out very well for the Bucs as well.
Sometimes you sit there and a guy falls in your lap, bleed like the Patriots. You know, depending on what you think of Mac Jones. Justin Herbert was there for the Chargers. They didn't reach, and he fell in their lap. So there's a lot of ways to look at it. Now, Steve, may I inject something here, Mr. Hisbitz? I've been thinking about this.
Does this have anything to do with buttercream and a donut?
Absolutely not. And Lee, unlike Hisbitz, I do my thinking outside the shower. Outside the shower. Lee, let me throw this name out on you. We never talk about this guy. We never talk about this Buccaneer. And you know what? With all this thing about Joe Tryon, Shirinka, and yeah, he's a little raw. He's got all this talent. Lee, there's another guy, and there's a spot open because JPP's not going to be a Buccaneer, barring some unexpected miracle here. Lee, I'm not sure Anthony Nelson isn't a good player. I'm not sure of that. I want to look at Nelson, Lee. In spot time, he makes some plays. Lee, do we know that Anthony Nelson can't get the job done as an edge rusher?
If that's the case, why would they draft Tryon? Can a backup be a good player? Good players aren't backups. A serviceable player, okay, but a good player? Is a good player a backup?
Sometimes guys surprise you, Steve. Sometimes they surprise you. I'm looking at this Nelson guy. I'm not closing the book on him.
Wouldn't he be a starter by now? Come on.
Well, Shaq Barrett, perfect example, Lee. Shaq.
God forbid someone gets hurt and he gets to start a few games and all of a sudden he goes nuts and like, okay, he wins the job. Great. I cannot sit here right now and say after 3 years that Anthony Nelson's a good player.
I don't know that he's a good player, but I don't know that he's a stiff either and that he's a lifelong backup. Steve, he was sitting behind JPP. Now, to Lee's point, once it became clear that JPP really wasn't particularly effective midway through the season, they didn't bench him, Steve. They kept him out there. So maybe that tells you a little bit about their feelings about Nelson. But I don't know. I'm kind of encouraged that the guy does show up when you least expect it.
He's a backup, but he plays. So we have a good sample size. He played a third of the snaps last year, Ira. He didn't miss a game. He had 5 sacks, which was a big breakthrough for him. You know, I don't even think you have to put a label on it. I mean, he's a 25-year-old guy who's developing, and now he's going into his fourth year, and hopefully he can show that he's starter quality, and if not, he'll be a backup for years. Otherwise, some other team will grab him for $3, $4 million when he hits free agency.
I just think there's an opportunity there, Lee, with JPP out of the picture. There's an opportunity.
There's opportunity for every player. It's called training camp. It's called preseason. Prove it. Get out there. Good, you'll be starting.
Ira, you can take down your Anthony Nelson jersey now and relax a little bit. All right, look, I gotta run this past you, Ira, because it troubled me a little bit. And you know, I read the mock drafts, not all of them, but some of them. Some I take more seriously than others. Lance Zierlein, for example, NFL.com. His father was a longtime NFL coach, worked with Arians. He knows the film, and he breaks down all the prospects for years for NFL.com. And his mock draft is very X's and O's kind of heavy. I think he does a great job. But Peter Schrager is another guy I look at with the mocks, because Schrager's mock is always based on who he thinks the teams will draft. And Schrager has a pipeline to all the GMs. He's been doing this for years as a writer, as an author, and everybody comes to talk to him on Good Morning Football. He's the co-host, and he literally is talking to everybody and takes the mock draft very seriously. So he pegged, of all people, and Schrager's got a pipeline to Jason Light. He used to have him on his podcast every year, and they're buddies, and he was with Light at the Combine. He puts Dax Hill, Michigan safety, a junior coming out, on the Bucks with the number 27 overall pick. He's a super athlete, sort of a bigger version of Antoine Winfield. A lot of people think he can also play corner in the league, that he's just that versatile and talented. To me, I was like, what is going on here? And he also had, you know, the big defensive tackles and edge rushers and your corner, Kyler Gordon, still on the board, but he went with that. And what makes it even more interesting is that Schrager was so confident in this mock draft and took it so seriously that Peter King brought Schrager for a whole podcast episode just to talk about his draft and his mock draft. And Schrager's on there talking about how, well, after the draft published, I had all these executives calling me, you know, poking holes in it or bitching about this or talking about whatever. So that's how seriously and that's how much inside information he's allegedly using. What do you think of this choice of Hill, guys?
Your setup to this Schrager mock draft was right on point, Steve. Right on point. And Lee, you know this. Jason Light will take a phone call from Peter Schrager.
He absolutely will.
They are close. Schrager's got a little thing about the Bucks. He does. And I think a big part of that is his relationship with Light, which is very trustworthy. He doesn't offend other GMs around the league, Lee. He doesn't slam anybody. You know, he's got good access. Everything Steve said is right. But I will say this also. If he got this Dax Hill guy directly from Light, it could all be a smokescreen on Light's part. And let's not forget that, Lee. Why should Light be totally honest with Schrager? Why? Is Schrager going to call Light in a couple of weeks and said, you misled me, you screwed me, Light, I'm never talking to you again? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So there's a couple of ways to look at it. But Schrager's got a very strong relationship with the Bucks/Light. But that doesn't mean Light's going to tell Schrager which way the Bucks are leaning and be absolutely honest about it. Light's got an obligation to this organization, and he knew that Schrager was going to put this out, and he's not going to tip his hand.
Everything you say is correct, Ira. What I think you may be overlooking or maybe not emphasizing enough, and Steve kind of mentioned it, and I don't think Steve's emphasizing it enough, Schrager gets along with all these suits because, number one, the suits like him, they like his show. And Schrager puts a lot of emphasis into his mock draft on what he's hearing from NFL GMs. Not what NFL GMs say they're going to do. It's what NFL GMs say, the chatter behind the scenes is what they're hearing. The information Schrager is gathering, there's a lot of chatter from movers and shakers in the NFL, what the Bucks are going to do, what they think the Bucks are going to do, what they're hearing the Bucks are going to do. Maybe more than 50% of what Schrager is doing in his mock draft is what he's hearing from other GMs, what they're hearing about what Light's going to do. And, you know, Light might be telling Schrager, hey, this is what I'm hearing the Bills are going to do. So I think that's legit, this safety. And I'll give you a funny story about this safety from Mitch. Sean Sullivan, our draft guy, he called me up a couple weeks ago and he starts saying, what do you think about the Michigan safety? What do you think about the Michigan safety? I'm not paying attention to any safety. So a couple weeks ago, Sean tried to talk me in about, you know, the Bucks legitimately drafting him. And this is before Steve's story about Schrager. I really poo-pooed this guy. I mocked him as, what the hell are the Bucks going to draft a safety for? So then Sean Sullivan calls me up after Steve wrote the story. You were killing this guy. What about? And I said, yeah, the Bucks aren't going to draft a safety. And then Sean Sullivan drops Lee. He runs the 4-3. The brakes. I slam on the brakes. What? 4-3? Again, then Sean tells me he can play multiple positions. The brakes go on. 4-3? What the hell is he playing safety for? That's a cornerback. So now I don't think they're drafting a safety. I'm thinking they're drafting a corner. I think this guy play out of position.
Sage, I just wanted to echo one thing, and I think it's important to what Lee said initially about the mock draft itself. You know, the Titans pick before the Bucks. So, you know, just for the listeners, Schrager calls John Robinson and he's talking about the draft and he says, hey, what do you think your guy Jason's doing behind him? What are you smelling the Bucks doing? That's sort of what Lee's talking about. And so he's combining information from other teams as much or probably more than what he's getting from Light himself.
That's an excellent point, Lee. You're right. And it's a way of getting around my point about why should Jason Light be honest with Peter Schrager about the Bucks' intentions. That's an excellent point, Lee. He's gathering information about what organizations think other teams might do and then putting the mock draft together about that. Now, of course, Lee, that begs the question, do these other teams really have good intel on what Light is thinking? Do they?
That's fair, but Light's got a lot of disciples out there in NFL circles, including GMs, Robinson, by the way, that's Exhibit A. And as you have said, Ira, Jason Light has a pretty damn good idea what other teams are doing. And I think it's fair to say there's half dozen, maybe a dozen other GMs that Light's tight with that they have an idea what he's going to do.
Yeah, and Steve, along those lines, you could really, credibly argue, Steve, that Light's intentions changed in the last month because we know how collaborative he is with the coaching staff, but particularly the head coach. And now it's a sea change. Arians, with his pedigree on offense, certainly thinking a certain way. And here comes Bowles, who until a few weeks ago had no idea about the offensive talent available in this draft in terms of prospects. None. He wasn't in on it. He wasn't looking at film. Why should he? He's not looking at wide receivers. Well, now he's the head coach. So, Lee, in that respect, I think the Bucks' whole approach might have changed markedly in the last couple of weeks. Steve, you know what my overall impression of this is? And I asked like this question. I think I asked two questions. This was one of them. I said, Jason, is it realistic, given this roster, that any rookie, and I didn't just say the 27th pick, any rookie in this draft class of 2022 has a realistic chance to earn a starting job on this team? And he kind of said, you never know. I mean, Lee, what else is he going to say? You never know. But Lee, I think overall, if you look at it, once again, for the second year in a row, you look at it and say, geez, they're drafting for depth. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that a great position for the Bucks to be in? And Lee, I think it still holds true. I think it's unrealistic to think a rookie's going to start crack the starting lineup of this Buck team. I think it's unrealistic.
Well, Sage, I don't buy that.
Maybe.
But
I mean, I don't know. But it depends where they draft the guy, number one. Number two, unrealistic? I mean, would it be unrealistic if they drafted a left guard and he started? I don't think so. I don't know what the odds are, but I don't think it's unrealistic. Is it unrealistic if they draft a cornerback at 27 and the guy wouldn't start? I can't go there. Now, if you're saying they draft a quarterback, hell yeah, it's unrealistic. They draft a running back, it's unrealistic. I know what you're saying, Ira. I can't exactly go there. If they don't think Sue's coming back, would it be unrealistic to expect a rookie at 27 to start? I can't go there. Would it be unrealistic if they drafted an inside linebacker and expected him to start? Yeah, it's unrealistic. It depends on where the guy, what position the guy's going to play.
Ira, one team I got my eye on, your Chiefs, your beloved Chiefs. They need pass rush help, and they need help on defense. Everybody knows that. They could use a cornerback as well. They're in the market. So I see Jason Light, who knows Andy Reid, work with Andy Reid, you know, taking a phone call from Reid saying, hey, Jason, we got 29 and 30. You got 27. I might be calling you with a fourth-round pick or to move up. And Light says, it's going to take a third, Andy. I want a third this year, and I'll give you back my sixth-rounder next year. Do you think the Chiefs might be in that market? And because they're also sort of in the market for the same kind of players the Bucs are.
Well, I mean, those picks are very close together, but it happens, Steve, where you think, you know, if you're the Chiefs, you think, well, maybe the Bucs or the team that's at 28 might be thinking about taking the guy that the Chiefs want at 29, and it'll only cost you, a fourth or a fifth to move up one spot. It could happen. And it's interesting that you bring up that the Bucs and the Chiefs might have the same primary draft needs. I don't think that's crazy. Cornerback, edge rusher. You know, I think, Lee, this should be a defense draft for the Bucs. That's my opinion. I'm not that worried about the offense. I got Brady. Now, unless you tell me Gronk's not coming back, that changes things a little.
And the Godwin question.
I got Brady, Lee. I'm not worried about this offense. They're going to score points.
Have Brady, will win.
All right, Sage, we are getting fired up for our mock draft episode, which will be next week. We're going to record that with our draft guru. It's always been a fun episode the last couple of years. Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford. And of course, if you don't want to talk draft, you just want a car or a truck, call Sean and say, look, I don't want to talk football today, but I do want the Ira Kaufman discount. I do want your guidance on getting out of my lease, getting out of my trade. I hear you're paying $2,500 over Kelly Blue Book value. Sean Sullivan's your guy, BillCurryFord.com. Enjoy Big Storm Beer all weekend long. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. You're going to be sold on Big Storm. Everybody who tries it, they love it. Big Storm is growing big, as Ira always likes to say. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. That's your first click anytime you have a disaster in your home. Don't mess around. They're available for you 24/7. Ira, I got two quickies for you, and then we'll get out of here so you can get to the beach and sun your new tanned body with the 7.5 pounds you're down.
And have another beach chair stolen in St. Pete Beach.
Yeah, lose those beach chairs. Sage, first, Peter King, when he was on with Schrager talking about Schrager's mock, Peter King admitted on his podcast, he admitted that when he makes his mock draft, he spends a little time and has a little bit of influence where he puts players with teams because he wants them there. Guys that he just wants, he wants to see on those teams. And his example was for this year, he wants Chris Olave with the Packers. He wants to see that mix. What do you think of a guy, Peter King, you know, his journalism status saying, well, my mock includes some guys I just feel like seeing there.
Look, we're talking about a legend in the business. And he deserves that title, you know, writing that 10,000-word thing every Monday morning. I mean, that's a bear. You talk about access, Lee. We've seen him at Buck training camp. Anybody he wants, he gets, including Brady. And he's earned it. He's earned it. But that's absurd. That should be no fact in fashioning a mock draft. I mean, Lee, rightfully or wrongfully, a lot of football fans put a lot of stock in some of these mock drafts. And by the way, Lee, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to say it again to Kemper, and I don't care how many times I've got to say it, and I'm going to stick to it, and I know what your answer is, Lee, but I don't care. The absolute dumbest thing in sports journalism includes hockey, track, auto racing, baseball. The absolute dumbest thing is a 7-round mock draft. By far. It is the stupidest, most ludicrous exercise. And Lee, I don't care how many times you tell me how many hits it gets. It is ridiculous because how the heck do you know who's been drafted already in the middle of the fifth round? It is absolutely ludicrous. And I don't want to see it anymore. Stop the nonsense. Stop the nonsense.
I got something stupider. Any columnist that every freaking Monday begins his column with the very same lead paragraph that mocks sports radio or sports radio listeners, and you expect anybody to read it? Or even better, you expect someone to pay for it? That's stupider.
Sage, let me just clarify for the listeners. You were referring to a seven-round mock draft for a specific team, not somebody who would actually put in the work to make a 268-player mock draft.
I'm not excusing a 268-player mock draft.
Okay.
That's as ludicrous as doing it for one team. It is absolutely dumb.
All right. No, I just wanted to clarify. I kind of like the big ones. Like, somebody puts in all that work, I'll read it.
But... Yeah, I'm the same way. Because the guy put in some work, and there's going to be some players in there I never heard of before that,
yeah,
you know, I might want to know about.
All right, Ira, I got the final question for you. Final question. You ready?
Hold on, Steve. Hold on. By the way, I just want our listeners to be on the lookout, because tomorrow I will be doing my seven-round mock draft.
Hopefully you have a four-pack of Sunny Key Lime from Big Storm with you, and just relax there. All right, Sage.
And just FYI, people know that Ira is the premier Bucks columnist in the Tampa Bay area, and if he ever tried that stunt after every Bucks game, his first column would be the same lead paragraph. He would not be employed at JoeBucksFan.com.
Thank you.
All right, Ira, here we go. Now, Jason Light said that 90% of the decisions are made before you get to the draft room, and there's no fights in the draft room. So my instant reaction, Ira, maybe I'm too cynical, maybe I'm just reading the other side of the coin too much. So that means 10% you don't know before you get to the draft room, and you sort of fight it out. So I don't really understand why he said 90%. I thought he would have said 99%, but he said 90%. I thought that was interesting. And the last thing I'll have you comment on, Ira, I heard a former GM on the radio talking about how no matter who you pick in the draft, that the rule is no matter who you take in the draft, you have to show the celebration in the draft room, high-fiving, everybody's into it. We got our guy, because with the advent of NFL Network and the cameras in the draft room, you don't want the player you picked to see how dejected you are because the guy you really wanted went a pick before him. So there's a bit of showmanship and nonsense to the draft room.
You just reminded me, Steve, of the euphoria, the Glazers high-fiving everybody after the Vernon Hargraves pick, Lee. I can't get out of my mind, Lee. Steve, as far as the 90%, and you're surprised maybe it isn't a little higher in terms of preparation, you never know when you get the phone call. They're up to pick 24. And now some teams talking about your pick at 27, wanting to move up. You don't know if you're going to get that phone call till it happens, Lee. And then you got to make adjustments based on who's still available. Maybe that guy that you had targeted as your number one guy at 27 is off the board. And then you might entertain a phone call where you wouldn't. So, Lee, I can understand that 10% wiggle room for Jason Light.
I got to say this about the Peter King. He does his mock draft heavily weighted on who he wants to go to what team.
Some players.
The funny thing about that is, and I can't remember the website. It's the Draft Huddle or something like that. And the reason why I pretty much hate mock drafts, I want accuracy. If you're not trying to be accurate, what are you wasting my time, your time, everybody else's time for? I won't say the guy's name, but him and I kind of got into it one time at the Combine, and he's a very popular, very well-known draftnik, and he puts out 50 mock drafts or whatever, and him and I kind of got into it about accuracy and mock drafts, and he's like, if you think I'm trying to be accurate, you've got another thing coming. I said, well, then what are you jerking around people for? You're a fraud if you do that. You're an absolute fraud. If you're not trying to be accurate, you're an absolute fraud. That tells me you're a liar. Grossly irresponsible. And that's why my ultimate mock drafter was Joel Buschbaum. He did one mock draft. One.
And Lee, along those lines, well said, Steve. Let's be quick to add. You know who's not a fraud when it comes to mock drafts, Sean Sullivan. He's not a fraud because he puts the work in and he doesn't want to see a certain player on a certain team. No, he uses logic and knowledge. And I can't wait. You know, it's going to be one of the great Buck podcasts for Joe Buck's fan of the year. The Sean Sullivan mock draft. I can't wait.
To finish my point about the Peter King thing, there's some website out there that monitors mock drafts, and then after the draft, they come out with which was the most accurate. And I'm very interested in that because, again, I believe in accuracy. If you're not trying to be accurate, then what the hell are you doing? Peter King was like the top five in accuracy. And then Steve tells me he heard him admit that, you know, sometimes he picks players just because he wants them on there. And yet he was one of the most accurate guys out there. I think that's hilarious.
All right, Sage. Well, you have yourself a good weekend. And I'm laughing to myself, Ira, with the visual of Bruce Arians sitting in that draft war room, which Jason Light said he'll be in there. Of course, he'll probably be sitting next to the Glazers. And I could see Ed Glazer turning to Bruce. Bruce, you like this guy in the second round? And he says, hell no, I didn't want that guy. But, hey, it's Todd's team. What can you do?
And they better save an empty seat for Tom Brady because Lee, he might show up. You never know.